You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Have a listen to these. Inflation, inflation targeting, interest rates, central banks, tariffs, statistician sacking, China VAT, new Fed chair in the quite near future, new Fed FOMC member, even nearer than that. Where will Malcolm Charles, portfolio manager at 91, start with all these? Let's find out, because Malcolm is on the line now. So much going on, Malcolm. It must be quite fun for you.
It's been an incredible, I'd say the last 2 weeks of July and the first couple of days of August have been crazy, as you said, you know, both locally and abroad. And central banks are very much in the mix, and that's what drives our markets. So we've had volatility, but we've also had pretty decent runs in our fixed income markets as well, which has been obviously good for the funds and good for our clients.
Well, let's start with that, because I look at the South African 10-year bond, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe around about 3 weeks, that it was flirting with a 10%. And after the interest rate cut in South Africa and things that went on overseas, we came down close to 950. Great performance, Malcolm.
Yeah, it was a fantastic run. I mean, that if you look at the South African bond market, it's given a return of over 8% on the year so far. So, and about almost just under 3% coming through in July alone. So a soggy start, a very uncertain start locally and globally, and then started focusing a little bit more on the fundamentals and, I suppose, less on the politics. And a really great place to be investing money so far this year.
Yes, that hasn't always been the case. Now, let's have a look at inflation. Inflation is 3% on a CPI basis in South Africa, the bottom of the 3-6% target band. Is that target band going to change? Is it going to be abandoned and something else new put in? Because that's the talk.
Yeah, so that was quite an interesting development last week at the MPC meeting. So we've been expecting some sort of movement, but we were expecting that more than likely in the October mini budget or even as late as February next year. There's been a lot of talk probably for about 18 months now, been driven predominantly by the Reserve Bank wanting to a lower target than the 3-6 band, because as we stand out relative to all other emerging markets where we're way above everyone else. And as we know, higher inflation just means that your currency weakens over time and it's not great for business. So it made sense. And then the Reserve Bank governor, he didn't change the target. I think there's been a bit of confusion in there. He's decided to change the focus to the bottom of the band, which is 3%. So we still officially got the 3-6 band. In 2016, 2017, he changed the focus from 6% to 4.5%. So I suppose this is the next iteration of that. But it hasn't gone down that well with the finance minister, who put out a statement that he was a little bit grumpy about the wording and the timing, et cetera. Even S&P have put a bit of a warning shot out there saying, you can't have a Reserve Bank and the National Treasury not in agreement on policy. So I would say we're in a bit of a flux at the moment, which is not great for the certainty of monetary policy and the effectiveness of targeting the 3%.
I think knowing Lesetha Kanyago through his deeds, I would say that this rift will be sorted out quite quickly, because he's that sort of chap.
No, very much. He's been in National Treasury himself, so he knows how it works. And I think it's a short-term sort of hiccup, and you know, the two will definitely find each other. And I think it'll be, you know, for the betterment of the economy if we can get a lower target, and they can settle on a number that they're both happy with, but definitely lower than the 4.5. And then, you know, we can move on from there. I can't say I'm overly worried. It just means that it's harder to get credibility if there's a tiff going on.
Yes.
So I think the sooner they sort that out, the better.
Okay, let's stay local and go back to the actual interest rate situation itself. 25 basis points we've had recently to the downside. Firstly, do you think there'll be any more this year? And secondly, do you think that sort of 3% focus that you spoke of and that the governor spoke of at the meeting. Do you think it's realistic? Because some people are saying, well, we're actually going towards 4% over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting argument. I mean, I'm lucky enough. I was around when the original target was, you know, in the early 2000s when they brought it on 3 to 6, and back then inflation was 10%, and we none of us believed it. And yet Tito Mboweni managed to get it below 6, and then when Lesetja said we must get it to 4.5. Equally, you know, no one really thought he could do it. So it is a stretch target. I think every time you move lower, it's probably a little bit harder than the previous one. But the SARB has got a lot of credibility. Yes. I think it's a great MPC. It's a great governor. So if anyone can do it, it's them. And it's not an overnight success. I think 3 to 4 years is probably the time frame that we've got to get our head around of them achieving that target.
Okay, interest rates. Just quickly, your thought on that. Have we seen enough this year now to the downside?
I would say 90% we probably done for this year. You know, if you think about it, we've had a lot of stunning tailwinds, low oil price, firm rand, well-behaved food prices. You know, everything's sort of been going in our favor. And you know, we have seen the trough of inflation. So inflation is very cyclical. It troughed out below 3%. It's back at 3. We expect it to tick up over the next couple of months back towards the 4% sort of level. So, you know, unless there's another downside shock in oil or a much firmer rand or something like that, unlikely to get another cut this year. We think it's very much the case of, you know, probably done for 2025. If there is a chance of a cut, it's you know, later in 2026.
Okay, let's get to the fun part of the podcast now, and that is the overseas developments and tariffs. Let's start with tariffs. I mean, Mr. Trump in the last couple of days has said, okay, another 25% India because you're buying Russian oil. And I think they've bought an enormous amount over, I don't know what this time period was, but I saw somewhere that it was £137 billion worth of Russian oil. That could have been over a year. But anyway, a lot of oil is going from Russia to India. They may be curtailing those purchases somewhat officially. But anyway, this has annoyed Trump. But the whole tariff story is an astonishing one. Where did it come from, for goodness sake? And more importantly, what is it going to do to the markets?
Yeah, look at what it is going to do is create uncertainty. And unfortunately, there is no consistency with Mr. Trump with regard to the tariffs. If it was just purely economics and it was based on sound sort of decisions, that's one thing. Mm. But you know, even with when it comes to South Africa, you've seen a bit of politics involved. You see now with Brazil, he's imposing higher tariffs because he doesn't like the fact that they're going after Bolsonaro, the previous president there. So it's that sort of uncertainty. And as you mentioned on the India story. So at this stage, I don't think India will blink. I think it's going to become quite a reasonable fight there. So it's uncertain. I think it is going to hurt prices in America, which bizarrely will lead to slightly more persistent and higher inflation, which means that the Fed is going to battle to cut rates, even though the jobs data is weak. And it's almost working against what Trump wants. Trump wants aggressive rate cuts so that he can see the economy boom and take credit for it. Yet his actions are actually going to slow down the Fed from being able to cut.
Yeah, it's very interesting. On the subject of the Fed, here we go, more fun now. The new Fed chairman is coming up in the next few months, and I think it will be a Trump appointee. In other words, somebody that is easy when it comes to monetary policy compared to Jerome Powell, who will be the outgoing chair. Then we've got the new FOMC member, a woman that resigned because she disagreed with the chair, Jay Powell. And so we've got another political appointment, probably. And this whole thing is the politicization of an organization that should be completely isolated from such influences, I think.
the whole market thinks that. And you do see every time he tweets about Jay Powell, the market actually gets nervous. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the dollar has come under so much pressure, you know, while he's been doing these things. It's definitely lost its luster because people are losing a little bit of faith in the dollar, despite it being the reserve currency. It's, you know, if any other country did that, they'd be called a banana republic. So it's unfortunate that he's picking these fights. And you know, the last thing you want is the Reserve Bank or a Fed governor or whatever that has not got credibility, that the market doesn't trust, because then you can't, you know, issue your debt because people are worried about future inflation and integrity of the central bank. So your currency and your bond market are tethered to the integrity of your central banker, and they're so, so important. And if you think about the amount of debt in those in that country, the last thing they can afford is to have doubt about their central bankers.
Yes, exactly, or a run on the bonds. Now, talking about doubt and talking about integrity, I mean, what about the integrity of economic data? For example, the statistician being sacked from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS. That was an incredible story. Just after the latest jobs numbers came out, she was given the sack because Mr. Trump said she was rigging the numbers for her political leanings. I couldn't believe that, Malcolm.
It's beyond comprehension. I mean, she was a public servant, just a statistician, quietly doing her work. Mm. And you know, there are revisions to that data all the time. I mean, it's a data point where they have to bring the data out very quickly so that it's current, and then you know, as they double check the data and they get more replies over the next month, they can revise it to actually reflect reality. And sometimes the revisions are up, sometimes they're down. And at the sort of turning point where we're at now because of tariffs and uncertainty and everything like that, you know, you are going to have big revisions. Unheard of for a president to fire because he doesn't like the numbers in a economy like America. Yeah, you've had it in, you know, as I said, banana republics in the past, and we all know what happens to those economies in the long term. You know, it's not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable. And what is not sustainable as well is the continuation of that theme, because it could be it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics one day, and then it could be the people that collate the consumer price inflation numbers, for example. Maybe he doesn't like the fact that inflation might go up, say, to 3% to 3.5%, something like that. He'll say, no, I don't like that at all. Let's shoot the messenger and get rid of a couple of people in that department. And the politicization of economic data continues, and the bond market and the dollar say, whoa, we don't like this at all. We can't trust it. We have to stand back for a while, or even worse.
You've seen that already with so America's still doing okay. Their stock market's at highs and everything like that. But the dollar is a lot weaker than it was this time last year. And the amount of capital invested in America from outside sources has also diminished. People have decided that, hang on, there's too much risk there, that American exceptionalism is not quite there. They are still good companies, so I'm happy to put some of my money there, but I actually want to hedge some of my bets. And, you know, that money's not going to charge back in while he's firing these individuals or potentially, you know, getting false information. If you can't trust the data, well, guess what? You're just going to invest less in that economy. And it's a slow sort of bleed that happens, for the currency and the bond market. And as I said right in the beginning, you know, they can ill afford to have, you know, bond yields go up too much higher with the amount of debt that they need to issue.
Let's have a look at your current positioning, given everything that we've just gone through.
Yeah, so we've been very constructive, and we built our position up. Yeah, you know, when we got the third budget eventually passed in the country, it was a very good budget, and we felt that there was too much negative news priced in vis-a-vis politics, the GNU, and negativity around that budget. So we started building duration in the portfolio. We started adding listed property to the portfolio, and we even used the Liberation Day opportunity to buy some offshore credit because the spreads widened quite a bit. And then steadily through June and July, we added further duration, especially the longer dated bonds. So the 15 and 20 year bonds, which in our view were exceptionally cheap. And, you know, those have all done very, very well. They've outperformed the shorter dated bonds. And as we mentioned right in the beginning, bonds have rallied very, very nicely through July. And, you know, even now we remain constructive. We think there's still a little bit more downside in yields. Inflation is under control. Interest cash rates are a lot less attractive now than a year ago. So people are looking for that extra yield. And South African government bonds are offering a very attractive real yield still at these levels.
So you and the team at 91, sort of quite optimistic about the run into year end.
Yes, I think we're well placed, you know, to continue just squeezing a little bit of a return off the market, earn a very good yield. And because, you know, you've always got to decide, if you sell an asset, you've got to decide, what am I going to do with it? And do you want to sell something around 10% and go into cash at 7? Doesn't make too much sense to me at this stage, considering the upside potential of the bond market.
Malcolm, thanks so much for your insight. Malcolm Charles is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.